Welcome back to D&B College. Today we're rebuilding a top loop with minimal CPU load in Ableton Live 12, and we're doing it the smart way, like a real drum and bass producer who needs speed, clarity, and impact all at once. The goal here is not to copy every tiny detail from a reference loop. The goal is to understand what the loop is actually doing, then rebuild the useful parts with stock Ableton tools so the result feels alive, tight, and ready for a proper D&B arrangement. That matters, because a top loop in drum and bass is not just decoration. It's the movement above the kick, snare, and sub. It's the pressure in the gaps. It's the thing that keeps a drop feeling fast even when the bass line is doing most of the heavy lifting. And if the loop gets too heavy on CPU, the whole workflow slows down. You stop making decisions. You start freezing ideas. You lose momentum. So today we're going to keep it lean. Start by dragging your reference top loop into Ableton and listening for function, not just sound. Don't get distracted by how shiny it is on its own. Ask what it's actually doing. Is it mostly hats? Is it chopped break detail? Is it noise and reverse movement? Is it punctuation before phrase changes? Usually it's a combination, but only a few elements are actually carrying the groove. Now listen to it with your kick, snare, and sub playing. Here's what you want to check. Is the loop creating forward pressure on the offbeats? Is it filling the spaces after the snare without stepping on the backbeat? Is it adding energy without masking transients? What to listen for here is simple. Does the snare still feel like the main event, or does the top loop blur it? If the loop sounds exciting solo but flattens the snare in context, it is not a good candidate for direct copying. Once you know what matters, duplicate the loop and start chopping it into rolls. This is where the CPU win begins. A dense loop with a bunch of processing often costs more and gives you less control than a few simpler parts doing specific jobs. So isolate the transient hits, the noise swells, the reverse entries, the small tails, and the tiny percussion accents. Then mute or delete anything redundant. A very practical way to think about it is this: one layer for hats and breaktops, one layer for atmosphere or reverse movement, and one layer for punctuation or fills. That's enough in a lot of D&B sessions. And honestly, if you can rebuild the core motion using only 30 to 50% of the original events, you're already in great shape. For the main motion layer, keep it simple. Drop your best short slice or hat hit into simpler, or use drum rack if you want separate pads for different pieces. Don't build some giant chain with too many moving parts. One sample, one filter, one transient stage, maybe one saturation stage if you need it. That's the mindset. A solid stock chain for this is simpler into EQ8, then auto filter, then maybe drum bus or saturator. High pass the low stuff aggressively. Depending on the sample, you might cut somewhere around 200 to 400 HC or even higher. The point is to keep this layer working like percussion, not like a full band loop. Then use auto filter to shape motion in the upper range, maybe with a little movement around the 2 to 8K HC zone. If the layer needs more edge, add a little saturator or a touch of drum bus with the drive kept light and boom turned off. Why this works in D&B is because the top loop needs rhythmic definition more than width or low-end weight. The groove has to stay clean around the snare and bass. Now comes one of the most important parts, groove. Top loops in drum and bass often sound great until they meet the snare. That's where you find out whether they're supporting the pocket or fighting it. Nudge a few hits slightly ahead if you want urgency, or a touch behind if you want a more rolling, laid-back feel. Don't quantize everything into stiff grid perfection if the reference had swing. Small timing choices make a huge difference here. What to listen for is whether the snare still sits clearly on 2 and 4, and whether the top loop opens a corridor around it rather than sitting on top of it. The loop should make the track feel faster, not just busier. That's a really important distinction. A busier loop can feel impressive for a moment. A faster feeling loop actually helps the tune move. If you've got sliced audio, tiny edits to the transient start can tighten things up. If you're working in MIDI, groove pull can be useful, but only if the reference really has swing worth preserving. Don't force swing onto everything just because you can. Next, build a texture layer, but keep it light. This is where people often overdo it. You do not need a massive ambient loop eating CPU in the background. Instead, take a short noise sample, a reversed cymbal, or a tiny slice of the original loop and turn that into movement. Then process it with stock tools like Simpler or Sampler, Reverb, AutoPan, and EQ8. Keep the reverb controlled. Short to medium decay usually works well, maybe around 0.6 to 1.8 seconds depending on the roll. Keep the wet amount restrained, especially if it's just supporting the main loop. Use AutoPan slowly if you want movement. Sync to half bar, 1 bar or 2 bars depending on the energy. Then high pass aggressively, often around 400 to 800 Hz, so it stays out of the way of the drums and bass. And here's a really useful efficiency move. If the texture sounds right, print it to audio. Don't keep a live chain running forever if the part is already doing its job. Printing saves CPU and makes the arrangement easier to edit. You can slice the audio later, reverse one hit, mute a tail, or build phrase changes without loading more processors. That's one of those pro habits that keeps your session moving. Now you need to make a creative decision. Do you want the loop crisp and club functional, or smeared and atmospheric? That choice matters a lot. If you want crisp, go for short hats, clear transients, less reverb, and more rhythmic precision. That works really well for rollers, neuro-leaning drops, and tighter sections where the groove has to stay sharp. If you want smeared, lean into reverse tails, filtered noise, longer decay, and a wider feel. That's great for darker intros, breakdowns, halftime tension, or the wrap into a first drop. Both are valid. The key is to let the section decide. If your bass line is already aggressive and syncopated, choose crisp so the top layer adds definition instead of fog. If the bass is sparse and you want more dread or space, a smeared top layer can carry atmosphere without needing extra drum density. Now let the loop become an arrangement tool, not wallpaper. Use automation to create phrase shape across 4-bar and 8-bar blocks. Open the filter a little over the last 2 bars before a drop. Tighten it again when the drop lands. Raise the texture in a transition bar, then pull it back once the main groove is established. Even small automation moves can make the whole section feel like it's breathing. What to listen for here is whether the loop tells you where the phrase boundaries are. In D&B, DJs and dancers read energy in blocks. If your top loop never changes, the section can feel looped instead of arranged. A little movement goes a long way, and sometimes the cleanest move is the simplest one. Pull the loop out for half a bar or a full bar before the drop. That absence can hit harder than adding another layer ever will. Once you've got the loop working, bring the full drums and bass back in and check for conflicts. Listen for snare transient smear. Listen for hat brightness fighting the lead or bass harmonics. Listen for stereo width muddying the center. If the loop is stealing focus from the snare, notch a bit in the 3 to 6 kHz range or reduce transient sharpness. If it's too bright, don't automatically low-pass everything. Sometimes a gentle high-shelf cut is cleaner because you keep the air while reducing the edge. Also check mono. This is huge. If the loop is using wide modulation, stereo reverb, or chorus-style movement, sum it to mono and make sure it still holds together. On club systems, a fancy stereo top loop that folds badly is a liability. What to listen for in mono is whether the groove still feels animated or whether it thins out and loses identity. Keep the rhythmic layer narrow or centered, and let width live mostly in the texture. That separation is why this works in D&B. The core motion stays focused, the air can be wider, and the snare stays strong in the middle where it needs to be. At this point, don't overwork it. If the motion, texture, and phrase shape are doing the job, commit to audio. Print it, consolidate it, and move on. The best D&B top loops usually get stronger through subtraction, not accumulation. If you keep adding tiny modulation layers after the idea is already working, you're probably just increasing CPU and blurring the groove. A really good workflow here is to keep 3 states of the loop: a dry functional version, a transition boosted version, and a final arrangement version with the least possible CPU load. That gives you quick energy options without rebuilding everything from scratch. And for the second drop, don't just repeat the same thing. Make one clear change. Maybe remove some shimmer and add darker texture. Maybe sharpen the hats and reduce ambience. Maybe add one extra fill every 8 bars while keeping the core groove the same. You're not trying to invent a brand new loop. You're evolving the existing one so the section feels intentional. If you want a very practical challenge, here's the move. Take one reference top loop and rebuild it into 2 versions using no more than 3 active layers. Print at least 1 layer to auto. Add at least 1 automation move. Keep the rhythmic content above 200 Hz. Then make 1 version for the first drop and 1 altered version for the second drop. Build a 4-bar loop that supports kick, snare, and bass. Then make an 8-bar pass with a phrase change. And while you're working, keep checking yourself. Does the snare stay dominant? Does the loop add movement without obvious mud? Does the mono version still carry the groove? Could you drop this into an intro or breakdown without rewriting it? That's the real test. So to wrap it up, rebuilding a top loop in Ableton Live 12 is not about copying every tiny detail. It's about identifying the parts that actually create motion, atmosphere, and punctuation, then rebuilding those parts with less CPU, tighter control, and better arrangement logic. Keep the core rhythmic layer simple. Separate texture from motion. Use automation to create phrase shape. Print to audio when the idea is already working, and always leave room for the snare and sub to hit clean. If the finished loop feels fast, dark, disciplined, and ready to live inside a real drum and bass arrangement, you've done it right. Now go do the exercise. Build the first version, then make the second one feel like a real evolution. Keep it lean, keep it musical, and trust the subtraction. That's the move.